This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
11 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning from FM 106. Time now for part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, May corn was up 3/4 to 347.5. July corn was up 1.25 to 357.25. And September corn was up 1.25 to 356.5. May soybeans were up 4 to 859.25. July beans were up 4 as well to 872.75. And August soybeans were up 4 cents as well to 878.75. Chicago wheat for May was up 2.5 to 434.75. July wheat was up 3 to 441.5. And September wheat was up 3.25 to 449.25. May soybean meal was up $5.60 to $306 per ton. July bean meal was up $5.60 as well to $309.60 per ton. And August bean meal was up $5.70 to $310.50 per ton. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 28 cents to $27.64. July bean oil was down 28 cents as well to $27.94. And finally, August bean oil was down 28 cents also to $28.08. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Thursday's reported grain price trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mostly higher on Thursday afternoon in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up a penny at 306 to 340. Soybean bids were 5 to 6 cents higher at 770 to 820. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 5 cents at 319 to 340. Soybean bids were 3 to 6 cents higher at 801 to 820. And in the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 2 cents at 318 to 349. While soybean bids are 4 to 5 higher at 807 to 842. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 6 to 8 cents higher at 834 to 841. Basis is up 2 to 4 at 2500 to 1800 of May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 288 to 296 a ton, up $5.60 a ton, with basis unchanged at 1800 to 1000 of May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 4 cents higher at 333 to 356. With basis steady to up 3 at 1508 over the May. Illinois River Barge loading elevated quoted to produce a corn bid steady at 343 to 348, with basis down 1 at 500 to option to May. Soybeans ended up 4 cents at 827 to 835, with basis steady at 3200 to 2400 to May. New crop wheat prices were 3 cents higher at 412 to 432, with basis unchanged at 3000 to 1000 of July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 366 to 367. These elevators raised their soybean prices 4 to 6 cents. Quotations at 855 to 857. Soft wheat closed up 3 cents at 467 to 472. And Milo ended the day a penny higher at 365 to 366. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 318 to 348. Soybeans at 809 to 839. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 334 to 352, soybeans at 827 to 849. In the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 312 to 352, soybeans at 819 to 850, and June-July wheat at 415 to 447. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle were down $2.72 to $124.05. June live cattle were down $2.97 to $115.37. And August live cattle were down $2.90 to $112.92. May feeders were down $2.97 to $143.55. August feeders were down $3.47 to $153.25. And September feeders were down $3.55 to $154.32. Finally, May lean hogs were down $1.32 to $87.85. June lean hogs were down $3 to $89.77. And July lean hogs were also down $3 to 94.65. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more this morning for yesterday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 50 cents higher in a range of $73 to $84 with a weighted average carcass price of $81.24. In the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were $5 higher, with very good demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 49 to 55, 4 to 5 weight of 53 to 58, 5 to 6 weight of 55 to 61, and over 600 pounds, $57 to $65. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $60. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled a heavy 18,570. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live basis trade at 122 to 128. And on address basis at 200 to 207. Choice heifers on live basis trade at 122 to 131. And on address basis at 200 to 208. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 306 loads traded. Calculation for 200-pound pork carcass was $83.72, which was down $3.26. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses are $232.93, which is 3 cents lower, while select carcasses are $219.75, which is 53 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000 compared to 122,000 last week and 121,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 460,000 compared to 477,000 last week and 465,000 one year ago. A recap of the Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, April 25th had receipts of 120. Slaughter steers choice at 128 to 129, slaughter Holstein steers choice at 88.50, slaughter heifers choice at 126 to 131.75, slaughter cows premium average dressing at $74, breakers average dressing at 55 to 62, boners average dressing at 49 to 59.50, and leans at $35 to $41, and slaughter bulls were $67.50 to $72. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you, and by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. In Ag News for this Friday morning, we join Tommy Justison of Butler. Justison had the opportunity to be a White House intern last year, and I had a quick interview with him about the experience and how it came to be, as well as how agriculture played a big role in the whole process.
Well, I think it's remarkable, and I really appreciate having the opportunity to speak with you. We've kind of been reflecting over the last few minutes. We used to sit in this office during FFA, during the time that we were both section officers, and give our section report, and how influential FFA was in our lives. And it's really nice to see that you're in this position now and you've taken, you know, full advantage of it. And I think you're doing a great job. And I really, have missed being in the hometown, being close here, but it's really given me a good experience to be at the University of Illinois, one of our great land institute, grand institutions here in the state of Illinois, and being able to really kind of get the broadest amount of knowledge I can there. And I think my major's in agriculture, economics, and finance, and having this kind of dual major between, you know, our business college and between our College of ACES has really given me a perspective on how agriculture functions in a larger sense, into the state and also into the country. And really being able to work with individuals from across the country, and many of those individuals also that are they're from Illinois, it really helps to kind of, like I said, put that in perspective. Through that, it's given me a good opportunity to take advantage of a lot of different opportunities, whether it's abroad or here. I've tried to put traveling. It's one of a really big portion of what I do. Reason being is that you see so much from traveling. You get to see agriculture in a different light, whether it's from different states, whether it's going to different countries. And really, the University of Illinois has given me that experience to be able to, and that confidence to be able to go out and make those connections. Through internships, I've been fortunate to work at John Deere and worked at Cargill, really seeing kind of how the agricultural industry works throughout the supply chain. Coming from a family farm, it was really neat to be able to see, you know, individual, whether it was implements or whether it was, you know, selling the grain, how that actually functions from behind the scenes. And then I ended up moving into Boeing to try something different. I was able to work on the Air Force One program, which was really an amazing experience out in Seattle. And then from that point, it kind of goes into this White House internship. And I applied in April, and it was a basic application process. And I really didn't hear anything until the end of July. So I was actually packed up and ready to drive back from Seattle to Illinois and start the next school year. However, I was working on this Air Force One program, and I mean, it was an extraordinary program and really a part of really kind of the legacy of the United States and the history, and I was very fortunate to be there. But then I get this email that I had been accepted to the White House internship program, and my life really kind of changed from there as far as moving out to D.C. and really being able to see that. And so I took the journey. I traveled about it. It ended up being about 6,000 miles. I decided to go through Canada to try to be as adventurous as I could and see as much as I could, and traveled to D.C. and was able to be put in the National Economic Council, which really focuses a lot on the economic issues of the country. And that was something that was very important to me, not only from my background, but also as an advocate from the local area, as an advocate for agriculture. And my main focus was actually agriculture and agricultural trade, and then as well as financial policy. So really being able to put that kind of Main Street to D.C. feel was really important. And every question that I asked of the leadership that was there during our speeches and things was how they are working to help the agrarian problems that we have. And so, and then that aspect I think was really good, because we really didn't have a lot of representation from small towns there. And so I think that was a wonderful experience. And like I said, I will entertain you any portion of that experience, but it just kind of helps the frame of what that experience has been like.
And especially with the way when Trump's whole campaign going into it was really to focus on middle America, the Midwest, farmers, things like that, I'm sure a lot of those experiences you had with that committee you were on really focused on agriculture. So what were, I suppose, some of those main things they were working on there?
Absolutely. So some of the individual topics are things that they've kind of discussed, like more behind the scenes and how they're working towards that. A lot of it is really how the way the executive branch works so much. And I think that was one of the functional portions of what I really learned in the National Economic Council there. I sat between in the White House complex there, and you were able to see a lot of individuals coming in from business leaders to trade groups, lobbyists. And you really start to see the issues themselves unfold and how complex those issues are. So as we, you know, as we as farmers, we as agriculturalists here in the area, we have our own views of things and how that works. It's amazing to see how tenfold of that complexity really unfolds when it comes to a policy standpoint and how really in-depth of that goes. And so some of the issues that, you know, we were really able to work on were being able through the executive branch to put laws that have already been put in place by Congress and really how those were going to be executed. Let's say, for example, like the GMO bill, how that labeling bill was going to affect companies, how that was going to affect other individuals. And, you know, during the time that we were there, there was a really big divide between the who is going to own the program between FDA and the USDA. And so just being able to sit in on those meetings, understand where that aspect was, and just kind of be an ear for that was really, really important. And being able to do some research, being able to really go behind the scenes, and like I said, understand the multifaceted portions of the problem is really, really important. And I think it really kind of gave a richness to the experience.
And as you said, being agriculturalists here in the Midwest, we kind of focus on Midwestern issues, such as the flooding in Iowa and things like that. But I'm sure being on a national scale with the executive branch, you got to see multiple different issues from around the country, issues in Florida with oranges, out west in California. California itself is its own agricultural base. So was there anything that you saw from other parts of the country that kind of made you go, wow, that's something I never really thought about?
You truly understand the globality of what agriculture looks like in the United States market. And I think what's really important is, like, and we saw this through FFA, you know, in our time through there and traveling. And I've seen this kind of in personal travel and also through the various programs through the college. You really understand how siloed we are and kind of some of the issues that we have here, and then how similar we are to a lot of issues that maybe aren't the same crops, aren't the same methods of production, but ways in which that we have similarities. And one of the things for me, I know in this area, like I said, water has been a significant concern, and we've had a lot of rain. Unfortunately, it's kept farmers from being in the field, and I know we've had that conversation, you know, among our family as well. But you look out west, and water means a whole different aspect to them. And looking at water rights, looking at how the government helps whether it's through Department of Interior giving the ability for individuals to grow hay, individuals to be able to harvest different crops off of like a national park or a national protected area because of these droughts or because of the ability that they don't have water. So you have these really contrasting aspects there. You also have really very much, you mentioned oranges. Oranges can be a very variable market or the orange juice market itself, and you can look at the commodity and see how much it, you know, jumps and how much that weather really factors into the crop. And we do have weather issues here, and like I said, there's a similarity there, but then there's also the issue of where the labor force comes from. And in that discussion too, we've had the issue of trade. You know, trade was a really foundational portion of some of the things that we talked about, and that also kind of translates into the United States Trade Representative side as well. So you really have this, like I said, this richness of experience, and I really got to see it in kind of a really good time, you know, focusing up to that, talking about what the farm bill is going to look like and how that was going to transpire and how that you can continue to kind of push things for farmers. From the financial policy side, you really get to see how that was financed, how the capital came into that. And, you know, we even got to work on some things about healthcare, and I know we just talked about infrastructure. We got to work a little bit on infrastructure and how maybe that bill could potentially come forward later. And so you have all of these individual interests that are very diverse, but they're also really kind of sometimes pulling against each other, right? Because you only have so much focus you can put. And just like in an administration and a individual's term, they have to really put their focus on a certain amount of things because, you know, there's always things that you can fix in the country, right? And there's always things that you can make better. But it's really about how you spend your time and focus on that. And one thing I really appreciate is that from my time there, I saw the value in what I was doing. I saw the value in advocating for agriculture, advocating for our agrarian and rural areas. And really, I saw the receptiveness of the individuals there that I worked with, the individuals that maybe they came from a background or they didn't come from a farm background or an agricultural background. And they were very receptive. They wanted to learn. They wanted to know more and how that really affects their policy really affects individuals in our area.
Having everything relate back home here in the local area, what are the plans, I guess, for the future? Are they to come back to the farm here? Are they to continue to learn more out in the world and in the country with agriculture? So what are those plans?
Sure. So this summer, I'm actually moving to Dallas just to work for Boeing. Again, I had a wonderful experience with them before. I'm working in a different business unit this time, really to kind of understand the diversity of their business, but also really get a different geographical perspective. I've been very fortunate over the time that I've done internships to live on the East Coast, the West Coast, the Midwest, and the South. And that's really kind of given me a good understanding of the larger whole of the country. And then I've been able to travel to all 50 states, and I'm working to still get those travel goals. So it's something I've set for myself, 100 countries before I'm 25. And I really wanted to do that because I think it really, like I said, it puts a larger perspective, not only for agriculture, but also just for life, how other individuals live in different cultures, how we are similar, and how there are so many things to be gained from traveling, whether it's a cultural gain, whether it's how you make yourself better, or whether it's just really even the simple facts of what it's like planning a trip, how much that really teaches you and you know, teaches you to be flexible, teaches you to be adaptable in a situation, and it's really good transferable skills. But looking to the future, I'm wanting to finish my degree off. I'm potentially wanting to do one more or do a study abroad that would be a semester long at a different college. Right now I'm looking for Oxford University in England. If that, you know, if they were to come to fruition, But I would like to, we just introduced a program at U of I. Thankfully, that's actually a one-year master's program in addition, you know, past that. So I might try to take advantage of that opportunity in applied economics while I'm finishing up. But really looking to the future, I would like to, I'd like to go out and go into corporate business for a little while. And then I would really like to get into politics. I've always had this ambition to do things. I think that we have a great opportunity as an individual, to give back to our community. And I think public service really does that. And I really want to be the kind of representative individual of my community that I can help speak for them, but I can also advocate real change for them. And I think that's something that we really neglect a lot of times is that there's this idea or this talk of change. But one thing I learned about the farm is that your actions speak much louder than your words. And really what you're able to accomplish, what you're able to get done, and even if that means, you know, working with individuals from across party lines, whether that means, you know, being able to really establish tangible difference for individuals. And so I'd like to get back into that at some point. I think I want to continue to stay involved with the family farm as much as possible. I love that background. I love my family. I love being able to work with them. I know that you had worked with us, you know, in the past as well. And it's a good experience. It's a wonderful way to grow up. And it's something I think that those agrarian values and these real values that we have are something that the country really, really desperately needs.
And we've also talked before when we were talking about how just agriculture and things here in the Midwest are the backbone of the country. So it's just very important to keep advocating, as we like to say, yes, for agriculture. So is there anything else you'd like to add or anything you could think of that we may not spoke about already?
One thing I would say is that I highly recommend anyone that is interested, and whether it's the White House or whether it's something in D.C., really to get involved as much as possible. I think that in a rural area, we definitely spend a lot of time here. We have our jobs here, and sometimes it kind of does it sends silos us to the fact of what the outside world does. And really, one thing I've learned through learning more about agriculture from learning from family farm is that what happens outside of our local area does very much affect us and what we do. And I think it's really important to see that. I think it's really important to experience it for ourselves. And traveling has become a lot cheaper. It's become the ability to do it, to be able to understand that. And I think it really adds to a quality of life for individuals. And so that if anything that I can offer, you know, from my experiences for what I've had, is just try to take as many opportunities as you can, try to build yourself as much as you can. And people really are willing to invest in you if you're ambitious, if you're kind of continue to persevere and you want to continue to make yourself better. And I think that that's something that, you know, from the folks in our area and some of the local kids, you know, having conversations with even people that we graduated with, you know, of what they do next and how they continue to move, is really taking those opportunities, taking the chances and taking the risk, it will end up being a good reward for you.
And again, that was Tommy Justison of Rural Butler. For this Friday morning, April 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.